Welcome to the Kanakuk Podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm Third approach as you navigate marriage, family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in. Welcome back to the Kanakuk Podcast. We are so glad that you're joining us today. We have a show that I believe is going to be fun and encouraging. Joe, tell us who we get to talk to today.
Well, first of all, I want to brag on my co-host, Rachel Sparks. And Colin Sparks has been running K Country for a few years. Of course, Colin is our executive director. And Rachel is one of those wives that kicks her husband out of the door every morning and says, go be the best. And he is.
He is. I think he is.
Rachel is inspirational in her own right. Rachel, you are a great person and just a great co-host. But today, we've got a Kanakuk Camp legend, and I ain't kidding you, man. Honestly, Rachel, one of the most inspirational young men I've ever met in my life. Certainly one of the best leaders I've ever met in my life. Paul Jackson grew up in Highland Park, Dallas, Texas. But after graduating from Baylor, he founded a company called Residential Capital Partners of Dallas. And his tagline is making home matter. And I'm sure he does. Paul Jackson, welcome home to Kanakuk.
There you go. I love it. That's right.
We're glad to have you on board, Paul. You've raised three kids in Kanakuk, three really cool kids, great kids. Married a unbelievable person, Rachel. Melanie Jackson is just one of the best you'll ever meet and has been a great mom and a precious wife for Paul to love and to cherish all these years. Paul, tell a couple of stories about camp, like when you turn my daughter down for a dance or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was the other way around. I think I asked her to dance and she said no. So she thought I was just trying to play up to the owner's daughter, and I just wanted to square dance. I just wanted a two step. I was joking with Jamie, my favorite Spike White. I was lucky enough to be a kid when Spike was there. I was at K2, the counselor running out of the super deal cabin one day, and Spike was putting up the zip line. And it was the new zip line going down Cardiac Hill. I said, well, Spike, what are you looking at? He goes, you know why we built those treetops? And I said, no. He said, to scare the heck out of them. I was like, really? I said, why do you want to scare the heck out of them? He said, well, if you can scare the heck out of them, you can let heaven slip right in.
That sounds just like my daddy. That's too funny.
That's a great quote. I've heard a lot of Spike quotes, but I don't think I've ever heard that one.
That's a good one.
That's amazing.
And the other great Spike quote was me, Steve McConaughey, and trainer Reitmeyer were doing the Super Deal cabin, and Spike, it was one of those last times to talk, and he said, it all boils down to four words, guys. Love those kids. And we sat there, we're like, love those kids. That's three words. I think he did it just to mess with us. But
it works. You're still telling the story.
Other great memories was you know, getting held. I got turned down by Jamie on the dance floor, and then Joe wanted to play 7-on-7, but, you know, he doesn't play fair. So I'm receiving, he's defending, he's holding me the whole time. You know?
Yeah, if you can't beat him, hold him.
Paul, it's so fun to hear old camp stories, especially just through your stories, you can hear your love for camp and how much fun you had. What kept you coming back, you think? Why did you come back year after year?
I think Joe said it at the top of the show, you know, it's home. It's just a place where you feel loved and you feel like you can grow and work hard and learn about life, learn about the Lord and make friends for life. And it's just the most special place on earth.
You know, Paul, I hope this podcast is an encouragement to moms and dads, especially moms and dads of high school kids. You know, that's what I do. And, you know, I know high school is uber challenging, especially to a public school kid where the surroundings are a lot of alcohol and a lot of vapes and a lot of distractions that, you know, aren't very good. And I see a lot of camp kids going home from camp and they've got a really tough road to hoe. A lot of K2 kids talk to me about, you know, being lonely as a Christian kid, mm-hmm. trying to follow Christ and trying to live a life without alcohol and without vapes and stuff. But Paul, you know, you kept coming back as a high school student. You could have done a lot of things. I know that. You're playing football at Highland Park. But what was it spiritually that kept you coming back to camp every summer? And why did the spiritual attributes that you gained at camp carry you through? Encourage the moms and dads out there about helping your kid walk with Christ throughout the year.
Well, you know, you're right. High school's tough. Middle school's tough. Where can you go for 26 days or 2 weeks these days and feel the pouring in of counselors that care about you, leaders like yourself and the other directors of camp that are taking time to lay out, you know, and walk you through the word and teach you about situations and give you encouragement that it's okay to stand up for Christ. You know, that's what brought me back every year. Was that was a place where I could go recharge my batteries. And even, you know, through K-Life, you know, you could charge them every Monday night. And I was lucky enough back in the day with Jamie and a lot of my other camp friends to go on K-Life trips, ski trips, you know, beach trips to kind of keep that fire burning. Of course, you have the Victor's Crown and all the other things that can kind of remind you of what you learned at camp. But there's nothing like going back for full metal jacket Kanakut camp every single year. It's what you look forward to the second you left the gates. But so I think to encourage parents out there, especially, my kids have all had great friendships in their school through just, you know, either middle school or high school. But their most special friends they met at Kanakut. And even my oldest son, we were just talking about, you know, he met his best friend, Cade Klubnik, who's, you know, Clemson quarterback, who's an all-star. They knew each other since they were 10 years old. And here we are 12 years later going to our third Clemson game. Anderson is running into friends. He's now my middle son. He's a freshman at Baylor. He's running into friends that he knew when he was a little boy at Hancock. And even when my baby, my 12-year-old superstar, we're on lacrosse trips in the middle of Connecticut or Maryland or San Diego, and he's running into kids that he knows at Kanakut that we're playing on another team from another city. And it's just special to see the way that those friendships have got a depth that you can't, you know, find unless you've invested that time and have those memories walking on Kanakut Hill together.
You know, Paul, something that really breaks my heart, because I watch kids coming to the cross at camp and I watch kids leaving on a spiritual high every year. And just, you know, it's just, I love watching them leave camp, you know, just different than they came to camp, and just so much more in love with the Lord, and their values are straight and their morals are straight. But then they don't come back because their coach or some summer league or some AAU, you know, deal or something. And then they just struggle all year long. And we hear about them getting back into, you know, alcohol and getting back into peer pressure. And, but you kept coming to camp. And I'm not doing this to sell Kanakut. I'm just doing this to, just encourage parents to keep the spiritual life number one in their life and not just getting distracted.
Yeah, I think we've seen that where we've missed a tournament or missed a ball game because those 2 weeks are kind of hallowed ground. It's a non-negotiable for us. So, and you know, I even saw the Rhodes' buddy that I just mentioned, you know, come a day late, leave a day early because of some of the commitments he had that he wanted to get there and make it happen because of the friendships and the spiritual recharge that it gave him, in addition to working on his athletics, because that's, you know, all my boys have loved that side of Kanakut as well. That's why I loved it too, you know, combining love for the Lord with love for getting better at what you do on the football field or the basketball court or the soccer field or running track or swimming, and then all the extracurricular sports as well that you don't get to do on a beautiful place like Lake Table Rock when you live in Texas. So I think keeping that 2 weeks today, you know, it's a shame you can't do the have more 26-day campers because that's what I grew up with. But those 14 days are Anderson, my middle son, you know, he just told his football coach every single year, I know we got 2-a-days, but I'm going to be working harder at Kanika camp than I would be at 2-a-days here in Highland Park. And his coach was thankfully supportive of him.
Wow. That's incredible. Do you think camp has played a role in how you and Melanie parent your kids? Do you feel like your time as a staff member and a camper impacted just your role and how you've raised your kiddos?
Absolutely. It's a common language. It's, you know, Johnny Ferrier and I'm third, and let's talk about that, and let's think about how we could serve somebody like you serve your cabin during cabin cleanup, and did you make your bed today? Did you help clean up the dishes? Are you being a leader out there? Are you living for Christ? Are you being a leader, not a follower? You know, Job's verse that he taught me, Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything off and let us run the race with endurance that's been set before us, to the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ, glory. You know, that crowd of witnesses is Kanika camp. It is Joe and Jamie and, you know, all the counselors that come around you and all those seeds that get planted, that you, those conversations that you have, that you file save as away, and you go through a tough time at school as a kid or a situation with a friend, and you remember conversations that you had. You remember, I got to serve others before I serve myself. And so, yeah, that resonates with the kids. That resonates in the household. It's just a way of life for us, and I hope others get to experience it too the same way.
Paul, a couple of years ago, I guess it's been more than that now, talking about the I'm Third life and talking about running a company, I'm Third. But just being an I'm Third husband, I know there's a lot of dads listening, a lot of young professionals listening. Paul, talking to young professionals, I love your tagline for your company, Making Home Matter. And I know how you run your company. Talk about the value of an I'm Third CEO. What makes living I'm Third like practical, down to earth, and in terms of living a professional life?
Well, yeah, you talk about making home matter. It's funny. We loan money at Residential Capital Partners to guys and gals that go out and fix up houses and improve them and then sell them. You know, they fix them and then they flip them. And we, for a long time, had a phrase that was our tag phrase, building wealth through real estate, which was borrower-centric and true for the people that were flipping houses. But thinking through what you just said, like, how do I impact a company and all the people that work so hard here to really buy into what we're all about? You know, and knowing that I'm Third and Big Team Little Me is kind of my DNA, I said, you know, that doesn't really mean a whole lot to the company. It might mean something to somebody that's out there wanting to flip a property. But at the end of the day, we got hardworking people showing up here. They care about where they make their home. We got people trying to improve the neighborhoods in America so that the people can afford affordable houses and have a home. The borrowers are able to provide for their families. When they flip a house, they can provide for their family and they can take care of their home. So I actually, it's funny, Joe, we moved into a new suite, and I asked everybody in the office to take little post-it notes and just write what this office and what this opportunity meant to you. And we had words I can see from my deal, like inspiration, caring, vision, you know, happiness. And I took all those words and put them into a piece of art with a little neighborhood. And we unveiled our new slogan, Making Home Matter, to the whole team. And everybody just rallied around it because it made sense. It makes sense to what they do every day, to what our borrowers do, to what the buyers of properties do. And so that's my I'm Third, what Big Team Little Me vision that was, you know, started back in my days at Kanika, kind of found its way to our company motto.
How do you wash your employees' feet in a practical way? How do you get down on your knees like Jesus did and live I'm Third?
Work as hard as you possibly can to break down every barrier for them so they can have a great workplace and feel encouraged and know that they're valued by us and encourage them. I go back to, you know, what you taught me at K2, the most valuable words in the English language are somebody's name, and calling them by name and encouraging them and telling them that they are important to the team, from the account executive salesperson all the way back to the loan processor, to the loan closer, to the administrative assistant. It's more, as Roger Staubach used to teach me at Staubach Company, one team, one dream, which is kind of, you know, another undercurrent of people that have made a big impact on me, like Joe White. So that's how we try to do it here at ResCap.
It's so fun to hear how lessons when you were 8 years old as a camper or on the fields of K2 can resonate now years and years later in Dallas, Texas, in the middle of working at a company and building a company and financial investments. And it's really incredible. And Paul, tell me in the same way how being a camper and a staff member impacted your life as a dad and your life in a company. We all in life have ups and downs, and we all have trials that we're walking through. How has your walk with the Lord and what you learned as a camper and staff member impacted how you walk through the hard times of life too?
Oh man. You know, I think you learn early on at camp and letting those seeds really root in your heart that first and foremost, your identity is with Christ, and that is the author and perfecter of your faith, and that, you know, time with Him is important, and that's why the victor's crown was so important. That's why, you know, praise and worship was so important at K-Life at night, despite what you did during the day. And I just think that those things, you know, take root in your heart, and then you want to give back, and you want to be like the heroes that have invested in you. I still remember Joe, one night I was coming in. I think I'd gone to Kansas to pick Brady up from a basketball camp. And it was midnight. I got in late. I thought Joe would be asleep. I was dropping off his Ford Explorer keys. And he's in there with his reading glasses on with the lamp on. He's got a couple of brochures of other camps spread out in front of him. I said, "What are you doing, man? It's midnight." He said, "Man, I want to be the best. I'm looking at some of the things these other camps have that we don't have, and I'm going to get them because I want Canica to be the best place for kids to come." And I just remember that. And I think the same way, you know, you see a leader like that that cares so much, and despite, you know, being tired or working all day in the hot sun, he's up at midnight trying to figure out how to make his organization the best it can be. And so, you know, those things definitely mold and shape you when you think about your future. And that's the way I feel about my business is, you know, I want to have an impact eternally for the Lord. I want to have an impact on the people here so that they feel valued. And we want to be the best because we want to glorify Christ with everything we do.
When you go over a speed bump as a husband, as a dad, as a professional, how does your relationship with Christ get you through the time when it's really, really hard, Paul?
It whispers, repent. Don't listen to the world and repent and turn around and come back. And you know, when you run over speed bumps, I think the natural tendency is to try to say, "Life's not fair. I don't like this. Woe is me." And I think that Holy Spirit whispers to you that's Satan trying to take you down a path that's not the way that the Lord wanted you to walk. And so you turn around and you walk back to, you know, the truth. And the truth is what sets you free and allows you to say that no matter what happens in my life, no matter what speed bump is in front of me, I know that the Lord is with me. I know that He's walking with me through the valley of the shadow of death as well as the high moments. And my job is to be faithful through it all. And I was just talking to a friend of mine last week about that. He was going through a tough time in his marriage. And, you know, I said, you know, that when I get into places where you're experiencing difficulty in marriage, I really believe that that's Satan just wanting to lie and steal and cheat and tear your family apart. And I just really encourage you to walk back to the truth, walk back to your faith and your foundation, and go serve your wife and your family like Christ loved the church.
And so, Paul, you know, your voice is steady. It's always been steady. I've watched you walk through very difficult times. You just stay steady. You know, the Bible word is steadfast that I see you living from day to day. In my mind's eye, I see a dad out there who's struggling right now. I see a mom out there who's you know, just maybe put on this podcast to try to get some hope, try to get some inspiration in her life. I see a young professional who just feels like they're going nowhere. Be a coach for a minute, Paul. Give us a word as a coach. If we're out there and we're our life is tough right now, we're floundering, how can you help us?
Well, I think the answer to that for me, and it's the same kind of conversation I have with myself and I have with my kids, is that, you know, whatever you do, you know, do it as if it's for the Lord and not for man. And that's if you're enjoying it. That's if you're struggling with it. That's if you're not enjoying it. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. And I think that the Lord knows your heart. The Lord has a plan for your life. And if you're giving everything you've got on the field and you're seeking His path for your life and you're trying with all your might to glorify Him and you remain faithful, that He will guide and direct your path. He's the light unto my path, as the Psalms and the Amy Grant song go. But, you know, I was having that conversation with my middle son, Anderson, going through his first year at Baylor. You know, some of these classes may not be what turns your lights on as bright as you want, but you got to work hard in every single class as if you're trying to glorify the God with every effort that you make. So, and you're going to find that in your first job. You're going to find that in your first startup. You're going to find that in your marriage and in your relationship with your kids. Life's not always easy. But if we keep coming back to the truth and keep pursuing His path for our life, and we keep trying to glorify Him with our life, then He'll make our path straight.
Thanks for that encouragement. It's so true. And really, just, I feel like as we got to talk today, we got to walk through the seasons a little bit of life of you as a camper, you as a staff, you as a dad now in business, and really how, because of Christ, He is, like you said, the one that makes our path straight and leads us in every one of those seasons. So thanks for that reminder today so much. Thanks for being with us, Paul.
Well, you know, if Joe mentioned Melanie, my bride, if it wasn't for Canicuk, I wouldn't have met her, because her sister was a Canicuk camper and I was friends with her sister. And then I always thought her sister was a really great gal and didn't know that she had a little sister. And she was, in between my senior year and freshman year, and she had a Baylor t-shirt on. I said, "Oh, I'm going to Baylor." She goes, "Yeah, so is my little sister." little did I know that she had told, I think she had taken some picture that Jamie Joe took of me doing something and said, "You know, you need to meet this guy when you go to Baylor." So that's all roads lead back to Canicuk and the Jackson family. So that's the way we believe and live our lives, and we can't wait to see you this summer.
Yeah, so, you know, when I think of Melanie, what a great person you married. I think about my dad at my wedding with Debbie Joe, and he grabbed me by the shoulder, and he looked me in the eyes with those steely green eyes of his. He said, "Boy, if you got what you deserve, you wouldn't have done near that good." How true it is, right, Paul?
That's right. I asked my father-in-law for Melanie's hand in marriage, I said, "You know, I want to ask you if I can marry your daughter." And he said, "Well, I know you love her, but do you like her?" And I said, "Yeah, I like her a whole lot. Why do you ask?" He said, "She's a strong woman."
Good work.
And she is. She's the backbone and the foundation of our whole family. So he was right on. And 27 years later, she's still strong, man. She's strong. She's awesome.
All things work together for good. All things. How neat. Thanks so much for sharing some of your story with us today, Paul. What a joy to get to talk with you. And I hope for all of our listeners that they can be encouraged as well, hearing how the Lord truly does lead in all things. And we are a little partial, but I believe He does lead and bring such great things out of Canicuk. Can't always promise a marriage from that, but I think we can promise great friendship and great encouragement to pursue your faith in all seasons of life. So, Paul, thanks again for being with us and joining us today.
You bet. It was great to meet you, Rachel. I love you, brother.
Yeah, buddy. Love you too, Paul. Always will.
We hope today's conversation left you encouraged, strengthened, and empowered. If you haven't had a chance, please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to marriage, family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit canicukpodcast.com. And for more information about Canicuk, you can visit canicuk.com.